So for my simulated world, I've been a couple years ago, started looking at the world around me and started asking questions about weird things, you know, textures. I'd played so many video games that I started questioning the things I'd been taught through science, and started thinking about things from a computer science perspective. So, for instance, I paid attention to, spent years, having breakfast over at Subway, where I would watch traffic go by. I started noticing the traffic patterns were extremely predictable. At 10 o'clock in the morning, I'd get there at about anywhere between 9:15 to 9:30, but I would regularly sit there for about an hour and just kick back and have a couple cups of coffee, and then I'd wander over to Starbucks and hang out for the rest of the day. Clearly, I was homeless at the time. It was this big, huge truck that would always go by. Sausage truck. I mean, a sausage is just, it's just too funny to see this massive, big, huge sausage on the side of this truck, and, you know, it was very phallic, you know, so for me it was hard to miss, and as I watched this truck go by consistently at 10 o'clock every day, I started thinking, wait a second, you know, I've noticed some of these same patterns inside games like Grand Theft Auto and Watch Dogs and other games, too. You know, so throughout the years, and I started actually asking the questions. What creates these patterns, you know, of people in a general sense? You know, what makes it so where, and not just that, you know, I also started paying attention to other patterns. You know, I had traveled a lot, you know, throughout the world and everything. And one of the things I was noticing was nature. Now, nature, if you're going to take a look at the pictures that you see on the internet, you know, you'd be inclined to believe that nature mimics humanity and that kind of stuff in some cases. You'll see some pictures, you know, quite a few pictures, you know, that look very sexually oriented and that kind of stuff. You know, but if you go out and look in nature itself, the one thing I've noticed in common, you know, is you can have patterns that exist for trees. And if you're in Arizona or Seattle or California, those patterns repeat themselves. You know, and what I had also noticed was it's like the same for grass and how grass grows all the way to, I mean, it just, you know, to clouds, to sunsets, to all these different things. And it's just, at first I started thinking, wait a second, you know, is this all just simply nothing more than a very, very complicated fractal? So, you know, at that point I started really considering the idea and notion that I was in a matrix. You know, the holographic universe concept, the idea that I'm in a simulation or something like that. But I had noticed, you know, that there was a little bit more to it than that. You know, sure, you can have fractals that arise in the form of a city, you know, arise in the form of people, you know, but there's something that happens, you know, and the way I started looking at things was what creates, you know, these patterns and also what breaks these patterns. So as I was playing with Grand Theft Auto and modding it a couple years ago, I started listening to some of the conversations that were going on online, you know, I mean, particularly with the characters and everything. Now, as I dug into, you know, the audio models and everything, I learned that not everything that I had heard was actually contained within an audio file. And that kind of blew my mind at first. How can that be? How can the audio that I'm hearing from somebody on the street inside this simulated virtual world not actually have an audio file associated with it? And it's kind of really started getting me to look at the world differently. You know, I didn't really talk about it much back then because I was just still studying these kind of things and everything. You know, but I ended up taking a look at, in the north part of Los Santos. Los Santos is, for all intents and purposes, the island. You know, it's the island city. The city itself is largely contained on the south side. The entire thing is considered Los Santos, if I'm not mistaken. But I'm in the process of converting the thing over to, my own version of Los Angeles. Now, I ended up looking at a lot of things, you know, the forest. I bumped up at that point the graphics quality, and I was just amazed at how similar the world looked. You know, when it was ultra-high quality and everything, at least from a still perspective, when I took an image, you know, one single image and everything, and I looked at the Grand Theft Auto world, you know, versus my world, I just, at that point, you know, from a still image perspective, it looked remarkably similar. And that just got me really paying attention to everything. You know, what creates the world? And really, the question that I started having, too, was, at what point does a simulation of life stop becoming a simulation and start becoming life? Well, I mean, I answered the question eventually, and it comes to me when, you know, just basically the interaction of living characters is what creates it. And it's kind of like a circle, for all intents and purposes, a cyclic, circular, recursive thing. So, let me give an example. I was playing Fallout 4, and I played that game to death. And I loved the lore in it. The lore, Fallout 4, the game, let's say a simulation, the simulation occurs in it's basically Boston. And it's, you can't really say it's a weird time period. You know, it could be, for all intents and purposes, somewhere in between the 40s and the 70s. You know, it could also be past the year 2030 or even later, too, where things have reverted back to some degree to a pre-information age, you know, society and everything. But as I messed around inside the game, I started asking one question. Does the guy, the avatar I'm playing, know that somebody is playing through him? Well, I mean, the same thing applies to me now. Do I know that somebody is playing through me? Well, of course I do. That's one thing I've come to accept. There are many, 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 many people, this is actually something I've accepted, that actually play and interact with my world through me. And ultimately, that's actually how I came to accept this thing called the multiverse. There are many influences that are actually causing my end result to occur. I'm choosing the best one of them, the one I like the most, you know, or the one that fits with my story. And that story is constantly changing about with my ideas, my thoughts, and my concepts and everything. You know, and here's a good for instance. About a year ago, I remember having this thought, you know, I wish I had gotten to know my father better. I wish I had the time, you know, and I had taken the time at a younger age and everything to understand him. You know, he'd always been a mysterious quantity to me. Somebody that I just didn't quite understand. I remember shopping for, you know, Christmas and birthday gifts for, and everything for him. And nothing ever seemed to, you know, be right. You know, sometimes I would go along with his alcoholism and I'd buy him a 12-pack of imported beers from, you know, from various places and everything, but invariably, I had a hard time understanding not just what to get him, but what he enjoyed and what he didn't enjoy. So, more or less, who was he as a character? I just had the hardest time trying to figure it out. And as a result, I spent most of my life getting to know my mom. You know, just being, I guess you could say, to some degree, a mama's boy. Now, over the years, you know, up until about a year ago, I had found, you know, that was fine and everything. It's just like, it's okay. But then all of a sudden I started realizing, it's just like, you know, their age, both of their ages are getting up there, and I don't know him. I don't know him as a person or everything. I mean, as well as, you know, as well as I want to. So I remember thinking that about a year ago. And the funny thing was, all the shit that's happened, and now, you know, I'm actually keeping an eye on him, making sure he doesn't go out there and drink and everything, because that's actually what kind of hurt him to begin with. I've been making it a fact to actually follow him outside and, you know, just basically to make, like I said, to make sure that he doesn't go out drinking. He'll go out and have a smoke and everything, you know, which still isn't good for him, but the alcohol is what was killing him more. And I'll walk outside just to keep an eye on him. And first he took a little bit of offense, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's become something a little bit different the last couple days. I'm starting to realize I'm getting to know him. I've gotten to hear a side of him I've never heard before. Practical joking father. And it's kind of interesting. What you pay attention to, what you want, what you desire, shapes the reality. So, I know, for all intents and purposes, somebody may be looking at me as if I'm in a simulation that they've created. That's perfectly fine. There are infinite different realities, and I exist in not just that one, but numerous other versions as well, simultaneously. That's the trippy part about reality. It's never just one thing. Something called Schrodinger's cat. It's an interesting thought experiment is how it's posited. You know, and the whole sequence is, it's convoluted to begin with. So I'm going to reframe it a little bit. There's a cat. That cat's in a box. Now, depending on a truly random event, that cat is either dead or alive. It's supposed to be a Boolean question. Is that cat dead or alive? It's supposed to be Boolean. He's either or, one or the other. Well, that thought experiment had me thinking for a number of years, without observing that cat, what state is that cat in? Oh, cat's in an indeterminate state. You know, from a programming perspective, it's almost like an uninitialized variable. It's not that he's in a dead state, it's not that he's in a alive state. Until he's actually observed, he's in whatever state that you believe him to be. And if you don't have any belief about what state that is, then he's in an indeterminate state. Plain and simple. It's a trip. I mean, so what I started realizing with that thought experiment and something called the double slit experiment, double slit experiment itself is also kind of like a thought experiment. You'll have people that are going to refute that, but let them show you evidence of having done that experiment, and you'll understand why I call it a thought experiment. Light can be measured, you know, by a device and everything, and it appears in one particular pattern. And leveraging another perspective and everything through leveraging vision, it appears in a different pattern. Now the question is, which of those patterns is accurate? And the answer is both of them. both of them are equally as valid. Now, which one is true? Both and neither. That's actually the trippy answer to that. There's many, many, many different ways to perceive something. That's actually what I've noticed. You know, and my belief, you know, is what ultimately affects how I perceive the world. You know, my wants, my desires, my not wants, my not desires, all of them are constantly creating a feedback loop that are actually influencing the information that I see in the outside world, and that's actually influencing me and the things, the way I perceive it, and the choices I make based on it. It's all kind of a cyclic loop. So, anyways, going back to the whole subway thing. So for years there, a couple years there, I sat there paying attention to the patterns of vehicles that would go by. And I noticed, you know, particular patterns of traffic and everything. And traffic ebbs and flows. I'd noticed this when I'd had a corporate job and everything, you know, how it ebbed and flowed. You know, but another pattern I noticed, you know, when I was going to work or going to school, was there was always one hot chick in every class that I ended up taking. And it was always, I shouldn't say, in every session, every semester that I took a class in, always one hot chick. And inevitably, I would try and actually get with her. Most of the time, I did. And then, in addition to that, whenever I took a new job at some place, there was always, always one hot chick that I was interested in there. Always. I made it a fact after a while to seek out that anomaly, that one that would always interest me and everything. But for me, it was the type of thing that it was so predictable from a pattern perspective. Like that sausage truck. Like the trees, and how trees actually appear in certain patterns. And if you look at the way branches are formed and, you know, leaves are formed, there's a specific pattern, and it's almost a fractal-like pattern that appears. Why? You know, comes down to just realizing, you know, similarities between that and the simulation that I'm working with. So one, you know, with me playing with this simulation on a regular basis, it's creating a feedback loop into my mind. That mind's altering my that influences and alters my perception based on my own experiences and own desires and that kind of stuff. Now, if anything's actually seeing and experiencing through me, they're going to get exactly what they want, exactly what they expect. Now, sure, that may appear to contradict with what it is that I'm doing. But ultimately, my mind affects time. It affects your wants and your desires, your needs. It influences the very world that you perceive. The billboards that you see, the things that you just happen to pay attention to, the TV shows that you might choose to watch, the commercials that you actually might engage in, the times that you choose to walk out of that room, and the commercials you don't see, which you may want to have seen before. You may be exposed to the things that that I want you to ultimately lead you to believe that your choices are yours. That what you're pushing to do, what you're wanting to do, may feel right, may feel aligned with your personality. But ultimately, I'm just as much calling the shots as you are. It's the interlinking nature of everything. That's what I've noticed. The interconnected nature of everything. What I want, what I desire, alters and influences your world. Sure. Particularly if you've got control of my computer systems and maybe you've hacked me or maybe have access to, you know, listening devices or monitoring devices in this room, or maybe have access to and prohibit the emails that actually allow me a source of income and that kind of stuff. Sure. You may have some modicum of control over my life and everything. But for the level of control that you have over my life, I have the same over yours. The interconnected nature of reality. The stronger your belief that your control over my reality is greater than yours, the more mutual that is. It's a bitch, you know, to understand and, you know, to consider the whole slippery slope, the infinite number of different possibilities. I remember when I was over at Rachel's place, and it was 2000, I think is what it was, maybe 2000, no, it was 2007, it's like March of 2007 or something like that, and I at that point had already been considering the MBA program over at Thunderbird. I had already applied for it, if I'm not mistaken, and I ended up seeing, I went over to her place, and she was married to Chris at the time, and still is. I keep up to date with who's doing what to who, from a distance. And, in a very, very calculated way, Chris had laid out an Economist magazine in a position that was very contrived. It was sitting, they had a big, huge bookshelf, and they had this magazine that was placed in this position on a chair in a place not far from where he knew we would walk through. And he knew he was targeting me specifically. It's the first time that I caught on subconsciously and later learned, you know, came to understand it from a more conscious perspective, that people understood the interconnected nature of things and the way the mind works a little bit better than I did. But when he did this thing in a very, very calculated way, those two statements that he was making when he set that magazine there. Number one was, for a woman like Rachel, all you have to do is understand the material in this magazine. And it's called The Economist, which is all about the stuff that I learned in my MBA program and everything. And for me, it was nothing more than an assertion of the direction that I was going anyways. It was a quiet, subtle assertion. You know, so to some degree, he may have thought that he was placing this in a calculated way for whatever reasons that was motivating him. And I've gotten a couple different perspectives and possibilities for that. The other reason was to get a woman like Rachel. I mean, that was the first reason. To get a woman like Rachel, you have to understand the material that's in this magazine and apply it. And the second statement that was made was, if you want a lifestyle like this, you have to understand the material in this magazine and apply it. Now, both of them were right in their own way. I had a guy over at Prudential. He looked me in the eye, and he said to me, his name was Thor, by the way. He said to me, when I was with Kenna, looks at me, and he waves his hand. And he goes, how can a guy like you, you know, he waves his hand in front of him, and just making it obvious he's looking at me visually, intending to be derogatory, it seems like. How can a guy like you get and deserve a woman like that? That's a question. It was a valid question. And I had an answer for it later. Not at the time. Because I created the fucking world. And created the set, you know, everything. I created my perspective. That's really, it is as simplistic as that. And I can place any image that I want to over Kenna's mind. I can find a new image, or I could find a new mind to place Kenna's image over. And the same thing holds true for Rachel. The mind is not fixed to the image that I see. And the same thing holds true for, you know, for my programming code, too. So as I watch that truck go by on a daily basis and everything, I see the same thing inside my game. My simulated world, I guess you could say. So today, I ended up spending a great deal of time learning the meta. The meta is every object that spawns in the world and everything has an associated X, Y, and Z coordinate, a rotational angle that's associated with it, a scale, which is its relative size to the model that's actually contained in the memory, and also any number of other things depending on what specifically you're accessing. Like right now, I just took a look at the pedestrian agitated model, and it has meta that's associated with it. So meta, for all intents and purposes, when it comes down to modding, is a reference to the data that's associated with a specific object. And usually, at least in the in this simulated world, it's with a specific object and or group or set of objects. So meta that's associated with it. So to put this into a real-life context and syntax, you might say that meta that's associated with the Marvel Universe might be, or the DC Universe, make it a little bit easier. You know, meta is going to be something like Superman. You know, he's capable of flying. Everybody, this is going to be meta, something that information, you know, that everybody's going to be aware of. Superman flies. He has a capability to be able to have X-ray vision, and he's somebody that, in general, you don't want to fuck with. Now, that's one way of perceiving meta, is just basically persistent information that's actually stored, you know, for the world. And then you have meta characteristics, you know, things that are actually associated and can dynamically be changed. You know, so for instance, Superman's health, you know, it's not always going to be the same, you know, particularly if he's been exposed to red kryptonite or something like that. Superman's location, you know, he can certainly start off at an XYZ location, but that XYZ location, at least, you know, it can actually, if you look at it from a globe perspective, he could have a latitude, a longitude, and an elevation associated with it. It may not be an XYZ location. It could be if it's actually in a flat world or something like that. But if you're looking at a globe, like what I live on, well, that latitude and longitude and his altitude could actually substitute for, you know, for the XYZ location and everything. So the meta is, at least in the terms that I'm using it, is basically information that's associated with a single object or entity. Now, there's a lot of people that have had their hands in the pie of making modifications to the version of Grand Theft Auto that I've gotten. Now, while I do have the original version, I've chosen to leverage the, you know, pretty much modified, highly modified version that's actually been circulated and distributed through pirate channels and everything. I'm a pirate, you know, just in case you didn't realize that. And as a pirate, one of the things that I enjoy doing is trying to understand, you know, some of these games, not only that, but also taking the time in this case here, you know, to understand what has been made, you know, for changes, undoing some of those changes, enhancing others of those changes, and potentially adding my own spin into things. So I've been going through and, you know, as I've discussed, I've made billboard changes, and that's actually one of the big things I'm doing is changing it from a violent world to more of a highly sexual world. So for all the violence that's actually permitted in this world, instead you're going to find the same thing that's going to be permitted from a sexuality perspective. So, you know, I mean, it'll be nothing to be at a Kluckenbell is what they call it. I'll probably rename it to something else, a little bit more friendly and fun. It'll be nothing to be inside of a Starbucks and maybe see a couple across the table from or across from you that might be fucking right there. You know, may not necessarily be something that's you know, necessarily condoned or wanted a lot, but it's not to say that you won't see it on occasion and everything. And that's just simply because this world doesn't prosecute it, doesn't view it as offensive, you know. It views it as annoying, you know, but offensive? Not really. You know, threatened? Not really. So that's, you know, that's the whole point of what I'm trying to do here. So one of the things I've been doing on an active basis with it is the entire city, the entire world at least, for this simulation, has meta at the, that's actually procedurally generated. Information that's actually procedurally generated. Now, in this case, calling it meta probably isn't an accurate way of framing it. However, it is contained in a meta file. And that meta file, you make modifications to. And that meta file allows me to change certain things, you know, such as I've been going through Sunset Strip for the last probably 7 hours today, and removing trash. I mean, how cool would it be to basically go through and you want to remove, you know, clean up an entire section of the city. Boom! I just did it in 7 hours' time. You know, now, it was a pain in the ass, don't get me wrong, but what I ended up doing was just going through and removing all trash that was procedurally generated. I ended up going through and actually applied it to the entire world, so I did it effectively for the entire world. So I've got a relatively litter-free world. In Sunset Strip specifically, I ended up removing a great number of dumpsters and trash bins and cigarette butts and things like that that were in there. And I ended up going through and just basically trying to prettify the world. You know, a world that's full of trash just doesn't sound like fun. I don't know if you ever saw the movie based on that. Oh, what the hell is the movie? Hold on, I gotta do a lookup because I can't go further without talking about it. Movie with a huge trash heap. Big tits rockin' trailer trash films. Okay. Who is it? I could see his name, see his face. Future cryogenic. I know he's in cryogenics. Okay, so that's actually, I'm doing a search on Bing. I'm trying to use Bing more often lately. But Google gets me. Google. Idiocracy. See, first result, Google comes up with it. Bing is like so far off, it's ridiculous. See, that's why I'm working with Bing a little bit more. Yeah, so Idiocracy is a movie about, it was just a weird film. That was set in the future where basically there's a whole bunch of a guy is ends up getting sent to the future in a world that has been taken over by trash. And they have a massive, massive dump that they ended up putting in this planet and everything that one day ends up collapsing and causing literally a collapse of the entire city and everything. And they've got a problem with pretty much everything in there, too. So they're trying to figure out, you know, how to actually solve some of the massive problems, such as trash, and also why their plants are all dying. Well, because they're not feeding it water, they're feeding it something with electrolytes, like a Gatorade. So, in any case, it's a funny film, you know, a funny, warped film that just discusses all the trash. Well, that's actually what I was thinking, was like, you know, this is like the start of that as I'm going through the city. So I ended up making some major changes, and I used to enjoy the part of living in Scottsdale of where there's hardly any trash around, that the public sanitation was actually pretty damn good, and they always made it a fact to pick up the trash. Not only that, but people just didn't litter there. You know, there was respect, you know, for the community and the environment and everything up there. And the environment also, not just being, you know, the people, but it also was the desert as well. They had really kind of like indoctrinated us. And I believed in it too. You know, that preservation of the desert and preservation of the community meant basically not throwing your empty cups and everything to the curb when you're done with it. You know, it meant not taking that candy wrapper and, you know, or whatever it is, the Big Mac, you know, box and throwing it out, you know, into the street when you're done with it. You know, it meant basically carrying your trash in your car and cleaning out your car and taking that to the trash, and at that point it could be disposed of properly. So, in that case, apparently the denizens of the GTA world, you know, that's undergoing transformation right now to a postmodern Los Angeles, it's a futuristic version I decided today. Well, I decided a while ago, but I'm more reinforcing it today. Apparently, they don't understand what a trash can is. So I ended up going through and removing all the trash. And not only that, but I also removed all the dumpsters. So the story goes something like this. In the future, they've invented a device that acts not just as a garbage disposal, but has the capability to be able to take any object that you put into it and reduce it, you know, from a material perspective to a pure energy perspective. And that's actually where energy is obtained from. You know, so remember Mr. Fusion and Back to the Future? Well, that's exactly what they do with this. You know, they each have fusion devices that are actually inside their homes. And as a result, I ended up going through and removing every single one of the electrical AC units that they have. They had so many different boxes around this town. I don't know why. It was just crazy. And in addition to that, I also ended up removing all the garbage cans and all the trash bins, everything. I mean, the reason for it is trash becomes valuable. You know, you can actually take your trash and throw it, and all of a sudden, boom, you get to convert it right into energy. So people don't throw shit away because it powers their place. So, anyways, that's among the changes I ended up making today. It was just like saying, okay, you know, how can I reimagine this as a story? You know, so every change I'm making, whenever I make dramatic changes like that, such as, well, what, you know, what happens when they ended up removing, you know, having all this, you know, all this garbage off the street and everything? Well, why? You know, I personally thought it came down to ugliness. I thought the garbage was ugly. I thought the trash bins everywhere that, you know, and the broken down crates and all this other shit that looked like garbage and everything everywhere looked like shit. So my first activity was just remove it, you know, but, you know, without really a story, you know. So at this point now I could reinforce the idea that there's, you know, a new device that can actually take care of these things in this alternate reality. You know, they've got Mr. Fusion, a real Mr. Fusion in this world and everything that can actually take care of the shit. So, I'm actually going to put down in my notes. Where's my notes? So, Notes of technology in my world. Or just an advertisement. So we're going to have a mystery fusion device, clearly, which eliminated trash and AC units. And the cool thing is I've already got a model for that too. So mystery fusion. Here we go, perfect. And the cool thing is I've already got material for it. So I've already got a product for it too. So, oh, look at that. So the Mr. Fusion Home Energy Reactor converts household waste using nuclear fusion. The energy produced by Mr. Fusion replaces plutonium as the primary power source of many ultra machines. And it's actually got an order. That's cool. This is among the reasons I'm talking about things out loud. Beautiful. They got all the ads and they even got product models for it. That's awesome. So, in any case, now that that's done, AC units. They're not unsightly and everything. I don't need to change that yet. So I'm going to create the Mr. Fusion unit. That actually gives me an idea. Looking at... So Back to the Future 2. Future. Create a real hoverboard too. That could be interesting. I wonder if they have a mod for it. Hoverboard. Mod. GTA 5. Back to the Future 2 hoverboard. They sure shit do. Holy cow. It's a functioning one, too. Guess what? It's kind of funny. So, in any case, I'm still going down Sunset, making ad changes and everything here and there, but it's taking a long time, and that's why I've got to have diversions every once in a while. So the other thing that I ended up doing today was popped out with my Q-car model. And what I was trying to do, I had an idea about the future of this. So years ago, Half-Life was created. And Half-Life was created from something... Oh, let me give you history. A proper history. So Half-Life the video game. So Half-Life is a first-person shooter video game developed by Valve and published by Sierra Studios for Microsoft Windows in 1998. It was Valve's debut product and the first in the Half-Life series. Players assume the role of Dr. Gordon Freeman, who must fight his way out of Black Mesa Research Facility after an experiment goes wrong, fighting enemies and solving puzzles. Unlike many other games at the time, the player has almost complete uninterrupted control of Freeman, and the story is told mostly through scripted sequences seen through his eyes. Valve co-founder Gabe Newell said, "The team aimed to create an immersive world rather than a shooting gallery. The game's engine, Source, is a heavily modified version of the Quake engine licensed from ID." Now, this is, you know, the interesting thing is the Half-Life and Source engine itself was later released as an open source type deal and everything, in part because of what the success of Half-Life and everything. And the way I'm looking at things altogether is GTA hasn't officially released their source code and everything, but what they have done, and this has become increasingly obvious as I've gone through this, is they've released the tools in order to modify the world and everything, and they've provided support for these through the channels that I'm leveraging. So, it's really, really interesting, you know, is what I'm finding on how detailed the information that's being provided, and how a lot of it can't have come through reverse-engineered channels. You know, meaning not just people that work there, but people that work there and work specifically to provide this information, disseminate this information to people like me. People that are wanting to take the time to make modifications to it, to whatever ends that they see, you know, see fit and everything. It's really interesting, you know, and I suspect that the way that this has come about is a direct result of the lessons that they learned when it came down to the evolution of the Quake engine to become Half-Life, that actually, arguably, is what's responsible for the success of first-person shooters in video games altogether. I mean, Half-Life alone it's not the only game that actually contributed to it, but it contributed a lot to a lot of people that normally wouldn't play these kind of games to come in. It also forced the Unreal Engine to consider other people as well, and Unreal at that point was forced to actually open up its content to other people as well. So it's, I think GTA Rockstar intentionally is trying to actually release their information and everything publicly, but they can't do it in a way that, what I'm suspecting, that is too condoned by the company, lest they threaten investment in the company. And it might be, you know, called an open source company, which can actually, you know, kind of scare some people away and everything financially. So that's actually what I'm finding, is I'm finding any time there's something that I need, you know, trying to find out, you know, specific information that's going on and how these files work and everything, boom, it's there. You know, I mean, it is there quickly. So it's just, I'm finding no absence of information. And while the community itself, if you look at the community itself, it's not that well informed, but all the tools are there. You know, so we'll put it this way. Usually, for a lot of things, you're used to something called a data dictionary or something like that to work from. Now, if you reverse engineer something, usually you go through the process of creating a data dictionary, which is basically a mapping of all the information and how it correlates to other information and everything as well. You do this in a corporate world when you're taking on a project that, you know, you're receiving from legacy channels and everything, the developers that had worked on it have long since gone. You know, so a lot of times when I was consulting for a company, it'd be my responsibility to get in, just basically reverse engineer the work that had been done, and at that point come up with the map of it, and at that point come up with the strategy on how to actually make changes to it from there. Well, this is kind of the same thing. You know, I've got the full support, you know, it seems, of the original organization that actually created it. That's the trippy part. So, in any case, I ended up starting down the path of doing the C-sharp add-ins and leveraging kind of like a C-sharp DLL. So I'm going to be making some changes to it from there. And it just got me back into the C-sharp mix and what am I going to do with this, you know, idea and concept and everything. So one of the things I've actually thought about doing is having it so where I distribute this, and every person that it's distributed to might answer a series of questions. And the game, the very first time that you play it, will establish an identity specifically for you, a one-time-only thing, and it will lock that in. It will be unchangeable. You will have that identity for the rest of the life of the time that you own that game. So I've thought about that, and so I ended up checking something out, and basically it's altering the character model, and ended up finding some code that I can actually, or ended up creating some code that, you know, converted my model to one of my favorite models in the game. It's a topless female, and I, for some reason, I'm having problems with that code. It's not working successfully. I'll see the model blink in, but for some reason, it blinks out again. So I gotta figure out what's going on with that. But in any case, that's just an idea I'm pondering about the eventual, should I actually decide to release this thing publicly and everything with sufficient enough changes. You know, can I actually create a world that I can actually market and leverage and, you know, basically withstand a lawsuit? You know, should I have a lawsuit that's thrown against me? So I think that's inevitable, you know, should that happen. So I just have to make sure that I have enough content that makes it so where this game is so far different than the original that while it may look and feel, you know, similar, it's certainly not the same. You know, and one of the things I've considered doing is basically making it so where you can't have anything but a first-person perspective, you know, in the same world, mind you. And the world is going to have kind of the same streets and the same layouts, but most everything, you know, within it, you know, the buildings and the models and maybe even some of the cars are going to be, you know, changed and everything. So I'm just basically trying to make it so where you have the same world, you know, but that world's progressed in time. Maybe 20, 30 years. So, anyways. But getting back to the whole random quality and procedurally based stuff. So a lot of the trash in this world was procedurally generated, and I ended up removing all of the procedurally generated trash. Some of it is static, meaning it's actually contained in a model and set at a specific location, and I've got to go by hand. Unfortunately, that accounts for maybe 5%, 5 to 10% at most, of the trash that exists in the world. So most of the trash that existed in this world, 90 to 95% of it, was procedurally generated dynamically. So, fortunately, I managed to get rid of most of that, and the streets look so much better already. So now I've just got to go through on a grid-by-grid basis and go through and make changes to the remaining ones. And what that means is just basically going through and saying, okay, you know, in Sunset Strip Zone 11, you know, and 12 are the ones I worked on today, I'm going to remove everything that has dumpster in it, everything that has bin in it, everything that has crate in it, everything that has, what's the other one, ELEC for the procedurally generated stuff, or for the static stuff, and everything that has news. So, because it is a digital society, news is going to be delivered through normal, you know, through non-text-based mechanisms and everything, so all the newsstands are going to be gone. One thing I'm thinking about keeping in there is are the phone booths. They've got some phone booths, or maybe even replacing. I'm going to put that as a note to myself too. Replace phone booths with police box. With blue police box. Increase the presence of police and give homage to Doctor Who. So that can actually, they can make for good placeholders for, since I haven't gotten rid of any of the phone booths yet. So that will allow me the capability to be able to replace those phone booths with, or their phone box. I don't know, even phone boxes, they're just phones. I can replace those with the blue police box once I get a proper model of that made. That could be fun. That actually makes me think. Trying to implement it in this world could be interesting. So, with that, the procedural generated stuff, now I just gotta go through and remove most of those other elements, and I'm just gonna go up systematically as I work on an area. I've got 11 and 12 nailed. I've also been making changes to one of the things I also didn't like, the whole trash thing has just been annoying the fuck out of me. So, on 12 is right across the street from, trying to think of the location. So, the theater itself is in 11, zone 11, just to the east of that zone 12. And both of those have a lot of derelict buildings that have everything must go, bankruptcy, yada, 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 all this other shit, too. Well, I ended up removing all of that. Anything that has bankruptcy or any indication whatsoever of a lack of money altogether, I'm completely eliminating. I'm also getting rid of for rent signs and all this other stuff to suggest that there's a lack of population that's actually in these buildings and everything. So my goal with all of this is to increase the amount of things that are going on in this world, and to increase the quality, the visual aesthetic quality of this world, and not make it appear like the ghetto future, more like the ghetto future that might appear in Back to the Future, what was it, 2 or 3? I think 2 actually showed the ghetto one, where Biff ended up doing that. You know, I'm going to have a little bit of a blend of both of them, really. You know, there's going to be parts of, you know, the ghetto parts of town and everything. There's going to be the nice parts of town, so. But I'm just going to find a way to distinguish it a little bit better and make it so where, you know, certain areas you're not going to feel comfortable walking around in at night and everything. Other areas, you're going to be, you know, I mean, that's where you're going to go and have some fun at and everything. So, I'm just trying to create a little distinction and everything, and for the most part, the big thing is cleaning up the trash. I mean, if we've, you know, now that I've got the idea for the whole Mr. Fusion device, boom, we're not going to need any, you know, everybody's going to find trash is going to be a commodity, you know, so, hey, you got trash, send it our way, we'll take care of it. So, in any case, yeah, with that said, just going to be heading, and I'm probably just going to start systematically at 1. You know, sunset goes from zone 1 to zone 17. Now, I've already taken care of some of the mid-zones just because I wanted some advertisements up in there. But now that I've done the core of what it was that I wanted to do, I'm just going to start systematically going down the entire Sunset Strip, starting at 1. And going through to the end, and keep on talking through these, and coming up with ideas. I'm just so happy that I talked tonight, because of the Mr. Fusion I wouldn't have come up with had I not talked about it. And also the phone booths, too. So, and that's what I'm trying to do, is just basically merge a Hollywood-type reality, and things I've also seen in movies, so not just Hollywood-type reality, but things that I've also seen in movies, So where this is both a place that where movies are made, it's also a place where the things that were created in movies happen to come into existence at the same time. And also it's a place where basically the mind has been known and is well known to separate from the body. And they've got cloning mechanisms, you know, to be able to handle recreation of the body. And there's a, you know, so the technology is definitely more advanced than it is here. So, in any case, I think I'm going to call it for tonight and shut down. I've got some more stuff I want to do here and just go on this now that I'm actually focused on one. So, like I was saying, I'm getting rid of all the bankrupt things. I'm getting rid of all the things that might indicate that there's problems financially with this area or with buildings. Vacant buildings will sit vacant, and it will be clear that they're vacant and everything. I think that it might be easier to keep some of these signs up, you know, the for rent and all these signs and everything up. And, you know, keep those signs up and everything to make it so I can locate the assets within the images. But I'm starting to understand the layouts of these files well enough and these where the locations are in the areas. And I'm not as concerned, and I'm also not as concerned about making modifications and being relatively unafraid about making modifications to the file and just seeing what happens in the real world or seeing what happens in the simulated world. So, in any case, yeah. Thank you for listening.